I've been kind of jumping back and forth, and I'm gonna say a few things from last week. The biggest thing is, you know, we talked about Hitler and talked about Paul, and both of them had purpose in their life. One of them actually let God handle him. One of them thought he was letting God handle him and didn't. To begin with, both of them thought they were letting God handle him, and Paul found out different. Hitler never really found out. Hitler thought that he was being led by God. Okay, he really did. He was actually such a flamboyant leader that he was actually Time Magazine's Man of the Year. Yeah, so I mean, this guy here, everybody thought to begin with this was just a brilliant leader. Yeah, and so you got to think about this thing. See, this stuff we don't think about. This is some heavy duty. If we don't learn about history, we're going to repeat it. Yeah. So you got to pay attention to this stuff very much. So here it is. What is your purpose of life, part two? And I wasn't exactly sure. And today's been kind of rough because what started out as a 3-hour tour wound up as a 3-hour tour wound up being shipwrecked on an island. Today has just been one wild day. And so here it is though. And I hadn't written this till I got here. So here it is. I don't feel like my life has purpose. Is there any hope for me? If I can tell you how many times I've heard that. Matter of fact, if I had a nickel for every time I heard that, I could take us all out tonight, out back, and get you whatever you wanted. Okay? I've heard that question so many times. I've said it to myself. Right? And the answer is, yes, there's hope for you. You can have hope because you were created by the God of all hope. He is our God. He is the one that, he's awesome. And he didn't just create, he doesn't create junk. Everybody he created had a purpose. Even if coming into this world, you know, Israel Houghton, is it Houghton or Broughton? Which is, I can't remember how it says last name, but he's a very powerful praise and worship leader. He's mixed. I think it's a black father and a white mother. I'm not sure, but he came up in abject poverty, and he was passed from foster home to foster home, and they thought that he actually was gonna. And he had problems, and they thought he was never, you know, gonna be able to do anything. But he loved music, and now he's got Grammys. I mean, all kinds of things. Again, you look at people that's had hard upbringings, they're usually the ones that make it the best, okay? They're usually the ones that's going to wind up coming to the... There was one young man, his mama was molested, and she couldn't afford to keep him. She wouldn't abort him, but she couldn't afford to keep him, so she put him in a foster care. He wound up being adopted, and there were some very hard things happened to him, and they thought that he would never get a chance to do anything in his life. And at 70 something years old, he's a minister on television, James Robertson, has touched millions. I mean, these guys, they may have had a line, but a lot, just like if you look at Billy Graham's son, Franklin Graham, he kind of went into it. He was kind of born into it. Or just like we see Joel Osteen, again, he'll say it himself. He said his daddy put him 40 years ahead of where he should be because his daddy already had thousands upon thousands of people. His daddy started in a feed store, had 90, and for years just had 90. And then one day it happened. Here goes the growth. And so, again, you look at these guys, for the most part, a lot of these guys that are successful now and making a difference, a significance in this world, did not necessarily have what we would consider the greatest of upbringings. That's what taught them what we're getting ready to talk about now, and that's significance. Okay, again, your life can be filled with hope and purpose when you choose to follow God's will. Jeremiah 29:11, I go to that constantly. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. And in the message it says, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out, plans to take care of you, not to abandon you, plans to give you the future you hope for. So now, I just want to tell you something between the difference in success and significance. Success is when I add value to me. Significance is when I add value to others. Think about this now. Success, I add value to me. Significance, I add value to others. You can have success without significance, but you can't have significance without success. Whenever you add to somebody else, you always add to yourself. But if all you think about is yourself, then you're going to have a hard, hard, hard time. Success, my motives are inward. But significance, my motives are outward. Success, I'm looking in the mirror. Significance, I'm looking out the window. And as a matter of fact, here, let me just give you a little bit of, success is actually a stepping stone to significance. Success, you can kind of say success is event-oriented. And significance is character-oriented. There's a difference. Both of them are making milestones. Both of them are making things happen. Both of them are seeing things, you know, do good in their life. But you watch it. You can always tell, like, I used to love to work for people that my boss, people that wanted to see significance because they were all about the team. They were about bringing up the team. You know, people say it's lonely at the top. No, it's not. If you're going for significance, it's not lonely at the top because if you're going for significance, you're bringing people with you. But if you're looking for success, it's lonely at the top because all you're thinking about is you. Okay, and I remember when I said, Lord, if I ever get a chance to lead a group of people, I will make sure that I work to bring the whole group up in every place. I've always worked to bring the people up, and people love to be in that kind of environment, and we grow. It's conducive to growth. But if it's always about me, then that's right. All with you. That's right there with you. It's like this. That's right. It's like the person singing. I've seen some of those guys go, how great I am, how great I am. You know, it's bad. So watch this. The difference in significance and success, and this is just, you want to write these down. I didn't put them in your notes here, but with my motives. With success, my motives may be selfish. But with significance, my motives are not selfish. Remember, I told you, success is looking in the mirror. Significance is looking out a window. Influence. With my success, my influence is limited, very limited. I mean, I'm only going to be, you know, it's like I heard one guy say he wrote some books and sold 2 copies. He bought a copy and his mama bought a copy. You know, nobody wanted his book. Okay, success. With my influence with success, my influence is limited. But with significance, my influence is unlimited. Wow, there's no telling how many people. Like the people do jobs like search and rescue. There's nothing success. There's not success oriented. There's significant oriented because y'all are doing this volunteer. Y'all is taking money out of your pocket, your energy, your time, your effort. The prison ministry is what we're doing is we're reaching out to the people, going to nursing homes or going to hospitals. You're going out. That is significant oriented because now it's not about you. It's about others. And God opens his eyes to that. He watches us when we're like that. But when we're all just about me, you know, no. So, time. Success can last a lifetime. Significance can last several lifetimes. Wow. Think about that. Success can last a lifetime. It's limited in its time. Significance is unlimited in how long it lasts. Several lifetimes. It can just keep on going. It's like a ripple effect. You throw water, throw something in the pond and watch it go do do do. You know, it just keeps on going out. Focus. Success asks, how can I add value to myself? Significance asks, how can I add value to others? And reward. If I pursue success, my joy is the result of my success. If I pursue significance, my joy is the result of other success. Let me ask you a question. You know, I know somebody in my family that they'll love somebody, pure love being around them until they start to get on what they consider their level or start to grow past them. And then and this person was a boss man on a construction job. And I watched him. He'd pull people in from the family and other people in, and he would love working with them. But just as soon as his boss started noticing them and started putting them on their own jobs and picking them up above him, he would start cutting them down and talking about how bad they were. The week before they were awesome. But now all of a sudden, So that's very important. So there is a difference in success and significance. So remember, your significance has eternal value. Oh, yeah. Oh, I've seen it. Definitely seen it. Okay, so here we go. What is your significance? Your significance has to, watch this now. Here it is. Now, I want you to see this now. This is going to kind of sound kind of counterproductive, but hear it out because I'm going to try to give it to you from a psychological view, okay? And I just finished, praise God, I just finished my psych class on human communication, made an A. Praise God. So now I'm starting personality disorders, and I'm already starting to pick y'all out. And I really want to thank Don and Vicky and Eddie for coming here and bearing through that speech, because that speech, I got an A on that speech. And they said she gave me an A because she didn't see Vicky and Don go to sleep. And I said it's because the camera was behind them, not in front of them. Okay. How much was I? Okay, well, that's why she didn't take off. Maybe that's why she did. She gave me a 95. So she must give me some time, gave me some points off of it, because it said 7 minutes. And I was 7.7 minutes and 57 seconds. All right. Okay. And if y'all want to see it, look on the Edward Christian Church site, because Eddie uploaded it to YouTube, and I had to send the link to my professor, and my professor looked on YouTube to see it. Okay, so here we go. Here it is. Your significance has to do with your importance. Now again, this isn't me, not at all. I'm gonna expound on this, okay? This is not a looking in the mirror thing. This is still can be looking out the window, but you got to have something to look out the window, okay? Your significance refers to your personal value, your individual worth. Your significance is one of your three God-given inner needs. These three inner needs are, number one, love. Everybody in here needs love. Did you know that? I'm not talking about love. I'm talking about phileo love, right? Brotherly love. Every last one of us needs phileo, whether they believe it or not, whether they want to say it or not, everybody does. Phileo love, again, has got to do with relationships, just being a part of something, being a part of a family. Is it me? That's fine. Just tell them I'm busy. I'm playing, Brandy. I'm playing with you, man. Look, I do that too. I've been sitting here and I hear it go off. And one night I had mine on and I didn't realize I hadn't turned it down. And I'm sitting here and it's going off and I'm still just a preaching. And I said, somebody's phone's going off. And I said, I wish they'd find it and stop it. And I looked down and said, hey, it's mine. Not anymore. Not anymore. Now you know what happens now? No. In Washington now, Beaufort County Courthouse, they have armed guards at the door. You come in with a metal detector, and they check you with a metal detector. If you have any electronic devices, they tell you either deposit it here and you may never get it back or take it back to the car. And so we carry him back to the car. That right there, they will not let you in the courthouse with. Yeah. But you know what? What you do is there's some people outside the courthouse that sit on the front steps. And when you come out, you can give it to them and they'll watch it for you. And there's another set of people praying for you and they'll pray with you. But other than that, you have to go back to your car and put them back in. Okay. So significance has to do. Always got to be a preacher's kid. Now, I'm fine. I just had to pick on him. Okay. Okay. And elders and deacons. All right, you're seeing, all right, here we go. Let's get back in. Here we go. I'm pulling everybody out of the bunny holes and get back over here. Here we go. Ready? Love. All you need is. Oh, you're telling me that now that I just got on you. Okay. Love. Oh, it's this. Receiving an unchanging. Here it is. Here's Philea. Two. Receiving an unchanging, unconditional commitment from another regarding what is best for you. Wow. That's the kind of love everybody on earth needs. Not everybody needs Eros. Not everybody needs storage. Okay, but everybody needs agape. And they need philea. Go ahead, Benny. Look, we'll be fine. You do what you got to do, Benny. Everything's cool. All right. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. All right. Number two, significance. Knowing your life has meaning and purpose. The majority of suicide notes. There's three things I just want the pain to stop. We talked about that. I just want the pain to stop. Or I just can't handle this anymore. But the biggest thing is my life has no meaning. Wow. So, knowing your life has meaning or purpose, I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. Psalm 57 and 2. And then three, you need security. Being grounded with an unshakable sense of belonging and acceptance. He who fears the Lord has a secure fortress. So, love, significance, and security is three of our big God-given needs. Here's some of these statements. I want you to say, well, let me ask you, how do I know that I'm striving for a purpose in my life? Well, here it is. I want you to look at this. These following statements express some of the desires of your heart when it comes to purpose. Watch this. Have you ever said this? And raise your hand each time if you've said this. I want my life to count. I want my life to make a difference. I want my life to be significant. I want my life to have meaning. See, my hand's still up. I want my life to have purpose. I can say it all because I've already read them. I wrote it. I want my life to have impact. I want my life to stand for something important. I want my life to have value. Wow. Wow. One of the biggest things that happens to us is we get caught up in the trap of comparing our life to the accomplishments of others. Never, ever. Because you got to remember, if Benny can go out, I've watched him track. I mean, he's like a coon dog. I believe you could go out there and hide. You could look. I ain't telling what you go out there and hide. What you do when you get him out there, especially with his dog. And he'll find them. He's got a tracker to do. You got a ground tracker and an air tracker. That's right. Neither one of them, they can flat out get it. But I'm saying is though, if I try to go out there and I get frustrated because I can't do what he can do, you know what? I can get all upset with God and get all upset with myself and think my life is worthless because I can't track like that guy can. But you know what? You know, or like I was a welder. I was on the welding team at school, but I can't weld like DC can. Lord have mercy. That boy has just got a gift. It's an absolute gift. He can look at something and figure it out and come back and just, I mean, it's amazing. Well, I never had that gift in welding. You know what? I can look at my son and say, well, I'm upset because my son can do better than me. No, I'm not. I'm excited. When I see him do something, it just tickles me. Or I can do halfway good carpenter work. When I see a good carpenter, a real good carpenter, it just blows me away. You know? So again, you can't compare yourself. Yeah, he's a good carpenter too. Yeah, It's like, all right, Sunday morning, Sierra singing that song Sunday morning. Okay? Look, she got it from her pawpaw, but her pawpaw can't do that. And then DC, y'all didn't see this, but during practice, DC kept going, I don't know if we're going to play these last two songs. And I said, why not, DC? He said, you ain't getting it. I said, I'm getting it, son. He said, no, you're not. I said, DC, I'm getting it, son. He said, no. He said, your timing's off. This is 6-6 or 6-8. And he said, 6-8. He said, and you're trying to play it 4-4 or something. He said, you can't do it. What was I playing it? I was playing 3-4. He was doing 6-8. And he said, you got to get an offbeat. And I said, son, you got to understand. Because I'd ask him to sing that last song for Sunday morning anyway. And I said, son, no, that's not the problem. I said, the problem is every time you start singing, I start worshiping. And he goes, oh, do me a favor, Dad. Stop worshiping until after you learn it. Then you can worship all you want. And so Eddie was there. No, 6-8, but more 3-quarter. I wasn't playing 3-quarter. I was playing 4-4. I think I was doing 4-4. I know. He said 3-4. Yeah, that's still 6-8. Right. Oh, you were right. Yeah, you were there talking too. Yeah, he come up here sitting in the back, and he went, and he told DC, because DC was getting on me when you, and he took up for me. He come out and said, I can't, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Stephen took up for me back there. I said, DC, son, the only problem is I'm just worshiping. He said, Dad, I need you to focus. You know, but then he come back and played. He called me when he got in the car. And he said, Daddy, I put the earphones in, and I could hear all the music. And he said, that bass was perfect. I said, I told you, son, once we got going, it'd be okay. I said, I just had to worship. He said, I know, Dad, but your worship was about to drive me crazy. Has anybody else's worship ever drove you crazy? Okay, so here you go. So watch. Don't get caught up. Go ahead, bro. Oh, yeah. Uh-oh. And them hand dogs, yeah. Yeah, but you know, yeah. Yeah, DC doesn't bark. DC's got that big old German. No, it's a German. It looks like a lab, but it's big and it's brown. And it's a German. He called it something. But he took me hunting. And, huh? Not a Rottweiler. It looks like a lab, but it's great old big. It's a short-haired something other. Yeah, well, he took that thing out there, and that thing would go all up in the grass, and he would just stop. And DC would say, go get him, go get him, go get him. And he would go all the way through, and then he would just stop. And it was me and DC and Sierra. And he'd go, he would just stop. And he put that leg out, and he would just, and DC said, no, really? He said, get him. And he would flush him out. Of course, Sierra outshot all of us. I'm telling you, I can't believe I was outshot by a 13-year-old. You know, but still, yeah, well, he speaks redneck good. German and redneck are similar. Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay, so watch this. Don't get caught in the trap of comparing yourself to the accomplishments of others. You already have God-given significance. Did you know that? Everybody in here right now, you already have God-given significance. You don't have to work for this. Okay? This is the part you don't have to work for. Why? Watch this. And this is part of your feeling like you... This helps fulfill the top three. It helps especially the middle one. and the second one. Here it is. And all three of them, actually, because it's God's love, God's significance, God's security. Watch this. You are significant because God created you in His image. Wow. That's awesome. That's so awesome. Then God said, let's make man in our image, in our likeness. And who is our image and our likeness? Who was He talking to? We talked about it earlier. But who's He talking to? The Trinity. He's talking to the Trinity. The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. All right. So now, your significance, I never finished reading that first sentence. You have already have God given significance because of anything you have done, but because of what Christ has done for you. Here it is. He's created you in the image. Number two, you are significant because the Lord designed a future for you. He's got something already planned out for all of us. I just read it. Every last one of us. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you have planned for us. One can recount to you were I to speak and tell of them, they would be too many to declare. Psalm 40 and 5. You are significant because Jesus died for you on the cross. Wow. You got to be worth something for Him to die for you. For God so loved the world, we're part of the world. And He gave, matter of fact, y'all say this with me. World, put your name in it, or me. Y'all follow me with this, right? For God so loved me that He gave His only Son that I can believe in Him. And I shall not perish, but have eternal life. Realize that Jesus will not die for anything or anyone insignificant. You indeed have a God-given worth. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies, yet not one of them are forgotten by God? Do you know that God has attended every sparrow's funeral from the beginning of time? How do I know He's attended all their funerals? Look, He says, are not five sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them are forgotten by God? You can't die without Him knowing it. He's attended every sparrow's funeral. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are numbered. So He has I wasn't going to say anything until you started. He heard them when they fell out. We didn't, but He did. You must forget, yeah, great clips, whatever it is. I got mine. Yeah, I got mine cut last time. She said, it's your lucky day. You got a free haircut. And it's out there by Little Caesars. Yeah, my father says, just goes to the, he has like, my father's like you. He says, once around the block, please. Don't be afraid, you're worth more than many sparrows. Luke 12:6-7. So I want you to think about this thing. We do things that are significant, but in God's eyes, we are significant. Meaning, He's given us life that lasts forever. Whether we choose to be with Him or choose not to, we're still going to live forever. And when a person dies, they never lose consciousness. Ever. There's times where our God is one God. Yes, our God is one God. But what it's talking about again is there's the Trinity. The Trinity. The Trinity are in perfect union. There's three persons in the Godhead. One person out. We want to say it's three persons because they all have different parts. They all have different. They all have different parts in history. They all have different parts in our salvation experience. There was the dispensation of the Father, which is the Old Testament. There's a dispensation of the Son, which is when Jesus was on this earth, and there's a dispensation of the Holy Spirit after Jesus went back up to the Father. Lord Jesus is fine. Lord Jesus, Christ Jesus. You know, I'm working on a sermon. You know how there's some movie that said, you had me at hello? And, you know, Daniel said he prayed for 21 days and then finally the angel came and said, I heard you the first time. And I think I'm going to say, you had me at Lord. Now that was Jacob. Yeah, he got his name changed from Jacob means supplanter, deceiver, heel catcher, and it was changed to Israel, which means prince with God. All right, any more questions or anything? That's right. That's right. He don't make junk. Okay. So come back next week. We're gonna deep dive in any deeper. I hope that this is foundation. Last week was foundation. This week is foundation. Coming up shortly, we're gonna do some nuts and bolts, hands on, how to find God's purpose in your life. We're just trying to build some stepping stones so that you will be able to go beyond, and when it starts coming out, you'll be able to say, oh yeah, I got this. It's sort of like when I first got saved and I was trying to read, the very first thing I did was I tried to read Revelation. And I was so confused and I was so aggravated. So then I went to Genesis and it was pretty cool. But I was still kind of, the preacher was preaching, I didn't hear much about Genesis. You know. And so I went to work. I got transferred in the engineering. And my part of the engineering department, I was there all day long with the preacher. Just me and the preacher. I didn't even know he was a preacher until I got an engineer, and I told him I'd just gotten saved, and so he taught me a lot. I got me a little mini college degree from him, and every day he would teach me about the Bible and teach me about stuff. And eventually, I wound up preaching in his church, which is pretty cool. But he told me, he said, I want you to go home, and I want you to read the book of John. Then I want you to read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and read John again. Then read the book of Acts, then read the book of Romans. I said, okay. And so after I read the book of John, that first Sunday morning, all of a sudden, the sermon came alive. After I read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it came even greater, bigger than it had before. And then after I read Acts and Romans, man, it was like every time I sat down, it was like, wow, this is awesome. You know, I wasn't sitting there going, huh? You know, and then when I did start reading Revelation, I was ready for it. You know, and when the Church of God got a hold of me in the internship program, they stuck us in Genesis, and we had to read all the way through and go back and go to Revelation. So they had, and they were testing us along the way, and so that was a great thing too. All hearts and minds clear? Any questions, any comments? Not sure what Sunday morning is, but I want you to think about something. Listen, next Sunday, not this Sunday, but next Sunday's homecoming. Am I correct? All right, I want you to get as many people as you can here. And here's what's going to be the sermon. Let's start changing my mind. This is what's going to be called. It's going to be homecoming's message. I haven't finished it yet. I've just started on it. Is making your home worth coming to. Okay? And it's going to be called, listen, the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. But it's not from Revelation. It's the four things that'll kill your marriage and kill relationships that are to the door. If you're doing these four things in your marriage, there's a 90% chance your marriage will not last. It's an indicator. It's an awesome indicator. If these four things are going on in your marriage is not gonna. If it's still going on and y'all haven't divorced, you're not having a good marriage because it cuts all the communication down. It cuts all the love out. You're just surviving with each other. So tell people, if you can, tell them it's going to be about four things. It's going to be making your home worth coming to and four things that ruin relationships. And it's called the Four Horsemen. The way I read it was in a book about the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. And so that's how it came about. And so it's really awesome. And I might even use the four. I mean, I'm going to use the Four Horsemen. It might not be in the title, but I'm going to talk about the Four Horsemen some. But it's going to be an awesome thing. So it's good. And it's not the Four Horsemen of Notre Dame. It's not the Four Horsemen of the WWF. Arn Anderson and yeah. what was that guy's name? Warren Anderson, Sully, one of those little guys. I thought he was 9 foot tall, and then he wound up being a Church of God preacher, and he come to youth camp, and I went to go meet him, and he was like that tall. And he went to talk to those young people, and all they wanted to hear about was who had he wrestled. Had you wrestled Hulk Hogan? Had you wrestled? Yeah, I wrestled all of them. And I just asked him, I said, was that stuff, that's for them to come out and say it wasn't real. And they said, I said, was it real? And he goes, man, leave it alone. I said, no, I just want to know. You're a preacher now. You ain't going to lie to me. Was it real? He says, leave it alone. I said, that's not what I asked you. And he said, I got hurt every day of my life. I said, I don't doubt it. I said, but was it real? And he went, and he walked off. And so I never got a chance to talk to him again. Huh? Oh, it's definitely a good show. A good showman. Let's all stand. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for all you do for us, Lord. We thank you that we've got significance in your eyes. Lord, even if the world doesn't think so, you do. And we know you do. And we thank you for it. Because you didn't die for junk. In the name of Jesus, we pray and thank you for this night. Amen.